Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All
right. Bullshit.
Deal with what shit, dude?
Deal with shit like it being the new episode.
Is it the new episode?
I think it is. You don't have to deal with it. You know, years ago, I remember I had been doing the, I just started the show and I asked, what? Why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? And you texted me back, because he's a malignant narcissist.
Was I talking about myself?
Mm-mm.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes the Podcast, episode 392. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
And this is Ree.
I said malignant narcissist?
You said because he's a malignant narcissist. Damn. But the tone of That's it was kind of like, deal with it, right? This is how it is. And it silenced me because I was like, oh, I have nowhere to go. True.
Checks out. Well, fellers, how you doing?
Fucking awesome.
And how you been?
Good, as you say.
Good. Yes. How have you been?
I've been pretty darn good, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How's the summertime?
Summertime and the living's easy.
I'm not.
Rallies on the microphone. That's your favorite band, dude. No, that's your favorite band, dude. Shit. No, summertime's been great. The kids have been enjoying their pool. I have been working nonstop in that backyard to get it fucking done.
Is the AstroTurf up?
It's getting there. Yeah. It's like 80% done. You can go see it in a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm fucking over it. I'm super done. I'm once this goddamn turf is done.
No projects.
I'm done for the summer, man. The kids are having a birthday party, which you guys, I'm going to send you the info for. You're more than...
Oh!
You're,
heck yeah.
Is there going to be pizzarrón?
There will either be pizzarrón or nachorrons.
Ooh.
Either way.
I'll bring pizzarrón for the nachorrón.
Sure.
Yeah, can I get the pizza?
But the kids definitely want... The kids definitely want Uncle Red and Uncle Jacob there, so...
You know, that's cute. That's nice.
You know?
I forgot my bracelet again.
It's chill, homie. It's chill.
I'm going to dig out some...
they would like to see the aunties, too.
Yeah, some... Yeah, there you go. I'll bring some micro machines for them and shit, you know?
Well, gentlemen.
I went and saw Danny Elfman.
Oh, fuck you. I was going to talk about what I did.
Oh, you do it.
I'm
you
just
do
kidding.
It.
No, Danny Elfman.
Get that out of the way.
Get that cheddar, bro.
Danny Elfman. You know who he is, dude?
He's a tattooed... long-haired buff idiot.
Incorrect.
I mean, he is those three things.
Yeah. And so the show was fantastic, and I had forgotten, like, the seats we got were really dope. They were really close, really fucking close, right? But and it was the thematic thing was, it's like a big mess is his thing. Like, so he has a whole orchestra performing stuff from the films. So he had they did Beetlejuice, they did Batman, they had a Mars Attacks sequence, which
did
was
they, did
dope.
They have an
oh, really?
Did they have an homage?
They had Breakfast Machine for Pee-wee.
A tribute.
And they showed this little footage at the end of Danny Elfman and Pee-wee at the premiere in the 80s, which was dope. It was
because you know they were homies.
And that's why I told Sophia, I'm like, damn, he just died a few days ago. He probably sacrificed fucking Paul Rubens. You know what I mean?
Adrenochrome style. He's like, we're going to crack this motherfucker's neck open. Slurp up the juices.
Yeah, like, fucking, we need the juice. We need the juice right now. Get it flowing, right? Mm-hmm. But
there's not much juice left in that spine, though. He's pretty decrepit at this point.
No, but freaking Danny Elfman, I mean, his age must be comparable to that guy. So I would imagine late 60s, early 70s at this point. But I mean, the performance was amazing.
It looks like you got good seats.
It was crazy good. And that's like the venue in Chula Vista, whatever it's called, North Island Credit Union Amphitheater.
Amphitheater bullshit.
Yeah, it's an amphitheater. And then, but yeah, he was like 30 feet away.
That's crazy.
It was fucking crazy.
How much money you make, dude?
Huh?
Just kidding.
Hey, dude, credit card, dude.
Hey, bro, are you rich or something, dude?
Nah, dog.
Shit.
Nah, dog. No, but Oh, and then the Oingo Boingo, you play Oingo Boingo songs, of course. Only a Lad was fucking dope.
Okay.
There's a... Yeah, it was great. And then I'm not very familiar with like a lot of his solo stuff, but I left pretty fucking impressed, which isn't surprising. Boy Harsher open though.
Okay.
And that shit is dope.
Well, you're wearing the t-shirt, so we at least know that you liked the show.
Yeah, and I mean, we'd seen them last year, and
Boy Harsher. Is that a Jesus Christ reference, dude?
I hope so. I hope they're talking about, and I got a hat in the car, which I forgot to bring in. Dude, you know what it says on it? It's a black fucking baseball cap, and all it says is,
fuck your God.
It says pain.
Oh, just pain. Holy damn,
said we got to get the pain hat.
Yeah, yeah. Look. We have one or two designs that we can go with. What do we put on the hat? Well, we could put the logo. We could put the Jesus thing.
Pain.
What about like just damn. Pain?
Oh! Some Ian Curtis shit.
Yeah, they got me.
When are you going to bring me my hoodie, dude?
Oh, dude, you know what?
It's shrunk?
No, I put it to the side and I keep forgetting it. I'll bring it.
Just kidding, man.
I'll bring it.
Oh, shit.
But yes, it was great. It was a great show. I'm really glad we went. And, you know, like, This Is Halloween was fantastic.
It's fun.
It was good.
Real quick, what's your favorite Tim Burton movie? I feel like you've seen them all.
You know what? It reminded me that I actually really respect Tim Burton seeing that stuff.
Yeah.
He loves Wonka.
Because it's been shit for a while, dude, right?
Yeah.
You know? My favorites, though, are Ed Wood and Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Okay.
Ed Wood is fucking one of my favorite movies, period.
Yeah. Ed Wood is, like, brilliant.
And that shit hit when I was watching Mystery Science Theater all the time with my mom. So it was just like, yes, this is it. And then I watched Plan 9 from Outer Space because we saw the movie. And it just made me, it changed how I watched movies.
Shit.
You know? So now...
Mine is Dumbo.
That's why Short Circuit 2 is on par with Godfather 2.
Oh, yeah?
No.
No. Which one? Big Eyes, dude.
He's fucking Dumbo, dude.
Planet of the Apes, dude. And Alice in Wonderland.
Fuck.
Definitely not those.
Mars Attacks for me.
Yeah, Mars Attacks is pretty fucking up there.
Dude, I would love to do a rewatch for Mars Attacks because, like, full disclosure, I haven't watched it since it came out. And yeah. I know that's one that's supposedly, it's aged very well.
Yeah.
That's what they said. But I don't
know, looking at the films, if you were to try to pin me the fuck down, I would probably say Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and then like second place, Big Fish.
Big Fish is a great movie. Yeah. I hate the name.
Why? Because of the band? Because
it says fish.
Because you love real big fish?
Therefore, the 4-star movie becomes a 3-star movie. No, just kidding. No. Because I love real big fish?
Yeah, that's why you...
Which one is that?
That's
my
like
town.
No,
my
dude! That's,
give me peace of mind, candy.
That's Buck 09, dude.
No.
Real big fish is sell out. With me, oh yeah, sell out.
Never been separated since I've been with all my life. Shit sucks.
Can you know what, dude? Can you sing the song from the beginning, please? I want to hear it.
Because I don't know enough of the cadence of it. I just remember the end when it would be on the radio. I'm like, what the fuck?
Hey, baby, don't you sign that paper, you're not, she said. But I can't work in fast food
all my life. Trash.
You're trash.
Well.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. what's your favorite would be Pee-wee and what else you said? Oh, Big Fish?
Yes, Big Fish.
Okay. I never watched Wednesday, which was supposedly very good.
What about you, the homie?
What I've been watching lately?
No,
just favorite, Big Favorite. Tim Burton movie. Oh, Mars Attacks and Pee-wee and that's it. I think on Halloween, I think Sleepy Hollow is kind of a more fun watch on Halloween. You know?
What, like, dude? Sleepy Hollow actually kind of fucks.
Like, aesthetically, I'm like, it's fucking cool. Like, I showed Courtney that the first time because she's like, you know, a Tim Burton fan, but she's seen a lot of the newer stuff, and
you threw up some fucking hard quotations there on that.
Yeah,
you saying she's a Fairweather fan?
But you know, you know, I was like, you haven't seen this and this, and I was like, what? I'm like, we gotta watch some of the older.
This way, you can reverse blow her mind because like she's watched the new stuff.
Yeah, and she was very hesitant.
Sleepy Hollow, yeah.
Yeah, she was hesitant about Sleepy Hollow for like 3 years, and she finally watched. I don't know why, but she finally watched it, and she was like, whoa, this is a lot better than I thought. Fucking Christopher Walken and shit. You know,
Christopher Walken with the sharp-ass teeth.
Like, yeah.
I thought about it at the show, too, because listening to, you know, when they were performing Beetlejuice, I think it's a movie that's been watched so much by probably all of us that we kind of just like, yeah, Beetlejuice. But Beetlejuice is also, like, top three for me.
Yeah, yeah, that's Courtney's all-time favorite.
Yeah, it's a completely fucking unique movie. It's like a complete vision.
The musical is coming back to San Diego soon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
I did some work for the producers of that. I did some IT work for the producers of that show a couple few years back. Yeah, nice people.
Enjoy it while you can, because they're about to do the sequel that everyone's been wanting for years, and we'll see if it is middling at best.
Yeah.
And just tarnishes and the legacy.
They just had to get Jenna Ortega in it again. Like, you can't.
I'm fucking fine with that.
But it's
of
it's
course
like,
you would be fine with that.
Like, you have the
Wednesday. Of course I would.
You already have the
Until
Wednesday.
Until it comes out.
And then she's trash.
She's not trash.
She's trash.
The idea. We don't need. I don't need. So far, I could be wrong, but we've had these. When these things happen, like, oh, Bill and Ted 3 is finally going to come out. Blah, blah, blah.
You know what I'm waiting for?
I don't care.
The Street Trash remake.
That's your thing.
Yeah. I'm in. I know you guys are.
Why do you
hate
on Short Circuit?
People on Discord were like, who needs this? And I'm like, who needed the first one? Honestly, this sequel or this remake could actually be pretty all right.
I needed the first one.
I have a poster in my room hanging.
It's fine. It's fine.
You're forgetting, bro. It has neon in it.
Oh, dude.
And people explode.
And it's a toilet.
Well, have you guys seen Fried Berry on Shudder?
No, but what I know the it's the director, right, who's doing the new one?
I think Fried Berry is fucking awesome. It's just this scumbag, lowlife who gets abducted by aliens, and then an alien wears this man's skin and lives his life.
That's all of us.
The fucking, the pure chaos. And this guy knows how to capture just dirty shit. You know what I mean? And it's in South Africa. So, like, and they already said Street Trash is going to be just a really dirty, seedy Cape Town, just grungy ass melt movie. And it's about like the government reviving some sort of program to try to get rid of their homeless issue. And I think they're going to find a way to melt homeless people. It's be fucking nuts.
Yeah. Hey, look, that's a pretty good solution.
That's actually, it could be a really prescient update then.
Yeah, that's what they were going for. They wanted to go for something a little bit more, relevant.
Sociopolitical.
Instead of just a bunch of rapist homeless people, you know?
Whoa. Not all homeless people are rapists.
In Street Trash, they were, though.
Oh, but are all rapists homeless?
Yes.
In some fashion,
homeless,
right?
In the sense of, look, once you step outside, I mean, there's a roof here.
Because home is where the heart is, right?
Home is a construct.
Because everyone's of in being the Milky a rapist, way. You would be homeless. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
We'll go with what you said. I got you there. Yeah.
All rapists are homeless. So if you're listening to this and you're a rapist and you're like, I'm not homeless, think twice.
Yeah, think twice. You are homeless both in merit and in your deeds.
Yes.
You should be ashamed.
Literally, figuratively, and otherwise. In merit and your deeds?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good, good.
You shall be ashamed of your deeds and your worth.
Fuck yeah. Shame on you.
Shame on me.
Shame on... You fool me once? Shame on... Wait, you were about to say you watched something, it sounded like, earlier.
No, did I? Was I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I finally watched Oppenheimer.
Oh!
Schloppenheimer.
Well, you said the name.
And I got to see it in 70mm.
You got Oppenheimed.
IMAX.
Are you just going to bandwagon, dude, and say that you thought it was great, dude?
Yes. That's what I'm going to do. Damn, son.
That's something, huh?
It is something else. Okay, so I'm not going to say that like IMAX 70mm is the definitive way to watch this film. But my God in heaven, it was like 80 feet tall and like 80 feet wide. And I'm seeing fucking Florence Pugh's, all of her pores in her face. And I'm seeing,
the depth of the fire.
I'm seeing his nipples and his, like, any nipples. And I'm seeing, like, the Coriolis effect of his eyes and how beautiful they are.
Oh, yeah.
Notwithstanding,
CGI upgrades to his eyes. Did you know that?
It's unbelievable.
Okay, so the idea that, you know, obviously this film has taken some liberties with actual history, and there are some things that have been omitted, and yes, like, you know, kicking Native Americans off of their land to blow it the fuck up has got some own, you know, its own issues that weren't explored in this film. But what are you looking at me like that for?
Why even go there, bro? Why do this? Well, because why play this game? You don't want to just shoehorn it in there? Like, oh, and by the way, here's this, them getting kicked off.
Well, they kind of did.
At
the end,
because he says, give it back to the Indians.
Yeah, it's all irradiated and bullshit.
Well, yeah.
But, okay, I'm glossing over it because...
Yes.
It's not even, to me, it's not even really a film, dude. It's a fucking, like, theater piece. It's an art piece in film format. And I cannot, and I know, like, all
this film, is cinema.
All art is film, or all art, all film is art. No. This is truthfully, like a stroll through a museum in film version.
Like Short Circuit 2.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which
is the film equivalent of eating Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
As a meal.
I left the movie feeling really shitty. And
as intended,
the scene
where, fucking doomed, right? Like, damn, we're doomed.
Well,
like,
how is he gonna end this movie? You know?
Oh my god, it was damn. The fucking best hammer. Fucking bring it down.
Well, it's 75.
Bring it down.
75% of the film goes by, and then you get the bomb, and you're like, what?
Now what?
We got 25. We got 25% more of this motherfucker going on. Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
All that stuff is great. Like, I know some people are going to be like, well, what does it matter? What's the... Blah, blah, blah? Shut up. Shut up.
Security clearance.
Shut up and watch it, and don't be an idiot.
It's not like the security... Yeah, exactly.
My absolute favorite fucking scene is where Oppenheimer's being interviewed by the security clearance...
With Casey Affleck?
Tribunal.
Later on.
The Florence Pugh scene where, you know, he's sitting there and he's being interviewed and she's fucking him and the wife. I thought that was a masterful fucking scene.
I'm glad you brought that up because the first time I was kind of on the fence with it because I was like, But then I talked to Sophia about it in the car and then obviously she knew that he had cheated on her, but now everyone knows.
Right.
And all history knows. Like, everybody knows. And so the second time I saw it too, like, it went to full, like, that scene, which I was like, okay, let me see how this goes the second time. It is, like, it is masterful.
Yeah.
And also, like, we haven't seen, like, Nolan's sex scenes really. And they're not long, drawn out sex scenes. But he's like, well, this is how I'm going to fuck.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, I want you to quote the Bhagavad Gita line, "Behold, I become death." When she's about to ride you.
Yeah.
Which is full on like libido and mortito.
Yeah.
And then it switches scenes to this fucking great sprawling landscape in New Mexico where they're in horses. And I'm like, oh!
Yeah.
The vibe, you know? But
it's a vibe.
It is, dude. And it's, and on it, yeah, the second, I watched it again last week. My second, I have yet to see it in. Have the opportunity to see it in 70.
Well, it's been extended. Yeah. So, like my own penis during this film, it's been extended.
That's right.
Extended twice now. It's crazy.
Good.
Yeah, they're basically just going to keep extending it, even if other movies have contracts with IMAX. They're still going to just throw in like one or two showings a day of Oppenheimer.
Now it's exceeded like 115 million just IMAX.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And it's, again, like, this is a 3-hour, very talky. It's one of the talkiest movies you could possibly see in a theater.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 hours of it. And I'm not, like, that sounds, that's a bad sell, right? And it's like, well, consider what it fucking accomplishes with that. Yeah. And on the editing, like, dude, that the first hour, like, that whole, like, do you hear the music? Can you hear the music thing? And it goes to that scene. Like,
yeah.
Like, well, you said, this is it's visual poetry. I know you think poetry sucks, bro. But not in film.
It's true, I do. The written.
The written.
Except for the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Del Vida.
The Bhagavad...
Belvita.
The Inagata Devita.
I love that part.
Doesn't rhyme.
When Fisher Stevens quotes...
Yes.
He's,
do you like this one?
Yeah. And freaking... what else, man?
Well, and even as the movie starts, you know, you start to see these little scenes of like, you know, particles interacting with each other, and you kind of get I mean, look, this is not a film that you're like, oh, I wonder what's are they gonna set off an A-bomb, dude? You know what's going on, and so these little moments that they're showing, you know. Particle physics going on, and the explanation of like a black hole.
Him talking about black holes before it was named.
Before it was even before you could.
Which lines up with other shit that Nolan's done too, by the way. He's like, oh, I did Interstellar.
Let's go.
We'll talk about black holes for real.
Yeah.
He talked about Oppenheimer in Tenet.
Yeah, he talked about Oppenheimer in Tenet. And then these are two movies now, too, by the way. I want to make like a fucking a little video. Cillian Murphy, and I guess it's Killian Murphy.
No, it's Killian. Yeah.
It's going to be hard for me to do that. Just right out. I'll tell you. Yeah. You know? But she's looking at his books when they were doing it because she can tell he's not present. And she gets off him, stops writing him, and then goes and looks at his books. And she's surprised by the stuff he has. And, you know, having listened to the freaking audiobook that this is based on. Yeah, he loved philosophy and a bunch of other stuff, and that's why the Bhagavad Gita is there. But she mentions, like, they talk about psychology, and then she says, actually, I'm more, and he's like, Jungian. So Christopher Nolan has Cillian Murphy talking about Carl Jung as Scarecrow in Batman Begins and this fucking movie. So that's dope.
Well, and even that moment, he's even kind of making fun of himself, right? Like,
oh, of course.
When he's saying, like, oh, Jungian, it's like...
Yeah,
he knows he's taking the piss a little bit.
Because it's
fucking brilliant.
Well, because it's like these are the standard things. You're
who's he show? Who's he showing off to at that point?
Exactly.
And it's like he just wants to fuck again.
Yeah,
which is dope. And Florence Pugh, lovely.
Yeah,
lovely as ever. And I love the allusion as to like, didn't she get killed?
The tiniest little seed planted. Yeah,
by the fucking government.
Love. Yeah, which is, I mean. Exceedingly likely.
Yeah.
Right? Because what, I mean, if you're going to do that kind of stuff, that would be a good time to do it. And then, can they do that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. And then there's like, Robert Downey Jr.
Fantastic.
Dude. When they're the black and white, because the whole thing is the black and white shots are from Strauss's perspective and the color shots are from the subjective experience of Oppenheimer, right? That was the idea of the structure anyway. But then, there's that black and white scene where they're meeting at the table and it's from Strauss's perspective. And then, like, there's a part where he's fucking telling him, like, they're talking about whether or not there were spies at Los Alamos. And then, you know, Robert and Oppenheimer's like, freaking, you know, there's no proof there were spies. And then Robert Downey Jr. is like, I want to fucking get a supporting actor Oscar right there.
Yeah.
He shows him, he's like, Robert, and shows him the fucking paper and all that. And he does this little snarl thing. And I'm like, dude. And it's just, that's what I mean, like, on paper, it's like, okay, you've got a scene of talking. It's film, though. Like, so it's like, his face, this music, this editing, yeah. It fucking combines, and it's like, oh!
Yeah, it's hands down, I mean, we're in 2023?
Year of Our Lord 2023.
Best film of the decade so far.
Oof.
Whoa, okay.
Well, I mean,
we're only three years in.
Argue with you.
Again, we're only 3 years in, but...
Well, it's good. I'm glad you. It's his best film, in my opinion, too. It's probably his. For me, it's his best film.
He took everything from every film he's ever made and kind of just, you know, all everything he's learned from every film he's done.
And again, I understand. I've watched the YouTube videos, and I fully understand that there are some historic things that were ignored and glossed over a little bit. But given the amount of time you have to make a film.
Right.
And I mean runtime. I'm not talking about like the time it takes to make a film. There's only so much that you can cram into a 3-hour thing about the father of the A-bomb.
And it brings up enough of the major issues It's using the Oppenheimer thing as a way to explore these issues in this pivotal, this crucial moment in time, right?
Well, I watched the video where this idiot was pissed off that, you know,
like the audiobook is 27 hours.
They didn't explain the fact that his, you know, he was saved by the, you know, the poison apple by nepotism. And it's like, yeah, dude, we get it. Like, we don't have to go into an hour discussion about that he was, like, saved by his father for almost poisoning his teacher. Like, okay, fine, move along.
Right.
It's fine. This is a movie where I'm not like, well, I have to get into the minutia of every little.
Well, and look, the bigger, what you don't have to get into the minutia about is that we dropped a fucking bomb on. It killed 250,000 people.
Yeah,
that's not.
That was another thing that people.
That's the important, you know. So
that was another bit that people were upset about, where they're like, they didn't show it, and it's like, well, I don't need to see it. I got it.
And that's why, like, Nolan was said, like, a big inspiration was, like, First Man.
Yeah.
With Damien Chazelle about the fucking moon landing and how, like, people were like, oh, they didn't show them planting the flag. Like, that's not what it's about. No. It's definitely more of an emotional film, a little bit more subjective.
Well, also, like, dude, it's a lot of Hitchcock. And by that, I mean, he knows the power of suggestion. He knows the film isn't just, the film, like, Scorsese has this quote. Oh, there we go, bro. No, he says,
you're doing the thing, dude.
Film is what's in the frame and what's not. And I didn't know what the fuck he meant when I read that. But now it's making more sense as I age. But there's what's in the frame, and then there's what's suggested outside of the frame.
Right.
Your head fills in the rest of the fucking world. Everyone knows what fucking happened.
Well, even if it doesn't explicitly, right? That's the part of film analytics that you're supposed to be. That you're supposed to be, like, taking as quote unquote homework.
Right. Well, exactly. And also, here's the other thing, man. Like, what kind of movie would it be if it exploited, like, let's fucking dramatize the bombing of Hiroshima?
Let's definitely watch poor Japanese people getting roasted.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They showed that he's watching a film and they show his reaction to it. Right? Which, by the way, at the time, they didn't know. They knew people would get killed. They anticipated some fallout. But now he's seeing the real world fucking consequences of it. And we see his reaction to it, which is like, what do you want to, you know, dude, fucking go watch Threads if you want that, by the way. Because that movie's dope. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm glad you loved it, man.
I did. I definitely want to watch it again in the same format because it's perfect.
Oh!
What about you guys? You watch anything?
It's time to segue into Mutant Mayhem.
Yes, but real quick before that, I also saw.
Oh, fine.
Meg 2.
Oh, fine.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
oh.
Keep talking
about talk to me about Ben Wheatley and Meg 2.
Oh my god, dude! I'm not saying like I'm disappointed. Like I knew it was gonna be bad, but I really wanted my next like Moonfall moment film. Like, I mean, it had a 0% rating. It was like 6% by the time I saw it in theaters. And I really wanted just a really bad kind of meme type movie. And it wasn't that. This is like a pure atrocity. Like I don't want, and I don't recommend it even as like a hate watch. Like no one watched this movie, dude.
You said you were miserable in the theater.
I was really miserable. I've never fallen asleep like 12, 15 times in a movie before. And I'm not the type to ever fall asleep in a movie. Like it's the most boring giant shark movie you can ever make. I mean,
then that shouldn't go in the same sentence. Regardless of the quality of your movie, boring and giant sharks.
There's a part where it just becomes like an underwater base fucking spy thriller. Like a third of it, the middle third of the movie is that, you know, the first half. It's hard for me to even tell because I was asleep. Like literally, like when the action ramps up in the final third, which is where like it's all just good shit, quote unquote. Like, I was falling asleep. Like, I didn't even witness. There's three Megs, and I didn't witness a single death of any of the Megs because I kept falling asleep and waking up. And I was like, oh, well, you know, it's so soulless. Like, I could not believe this film. It was.
So the first Meg is now.
It's like miles better, which is insane to say.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign. So Ben Wheatley trying to pay off his house.
100%, yeah.
He might not be, though.
Well, and paying off his house. I guess it opened at $30 million, which is not, but it opened worldwide.
Like yeah.
100, 150 plus or something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I watched that. I did another double feature. My third double feature in a row. It's just been crazy. No more, though. I'm done with that.
Yeah, you're pretty... That's pretty hardcore, because you're doing double features of kind of not good stuff, too.
Yeah, well, first it was Barbenheimer, which was fantastic. Well, that's, and then it was, like, Talk to Me, Haunted Mansion, oof. And then you have Mutant Mayhem and Meg 2, oof. And then...
You've been top-loading him, basically.
Yeah,
like,
so...
The first movie's good, and the second one, you're like, well, fuck this.
That was a mistake.
Also, have you considered that Meg 2 being so bad, you saw that first?
I saw it second.
Okay.
Which was a mistake.
Well, even then, nonetheless, if you consider that because you saw it the same evening, that the other movie looks better by comparison?
No, I don't think it's... I thought it would be, there would be something like that, and
have you
ever
considered this, dude?
Have you considered that... What did you think of Mutant Mayhem?
Dude.
Have you ever had a dream?
Yes.
Where you have a dream... With
have you
kid?
Ever had a dream? Had a dream?
Yeah, yeah, that fucking kid.
I'm gonna predict my top three of the year is probably gonna be Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Mutant Mayhem. Because I really fucking enjoyed that movie, man. Like I grew up watching the live action shit. My older brother grew up and fucking with the 80s cartoon and owned every action figure. That was the shit. And like I was like almost fucking tearing up watching this movie. I was so happy, and it was like a weird, just cozy, happy place watching Mutant Mayhem. And like the shit that happened, that went down, like I saw it 3D and in Dolby. I saw it twice.
Wait, go on, sorry, dude.
I mean, like something about this movie, the way
Across the Spider-Verse came out this year.
No,
right?
So this is the thing. Across the Spider-Verse is like a literal historical achievement in animation.
Yeah,
and you know all the good that can happen with overworking your animators. Good shit happens, you know.
Yeah, man, shit happens,
dude. It's fucking I loved wow. Across the Spider-Verse. It is an overall miles better made movie in every sense of the way. But the thing is, I had just personally, this is all personal. This is all personal. I personally had more fun with Mutant Mayhem. I was like, wow. Like, and I know like you grew up reading so much Spider-Man shit and like Venom and all that, like Todd McFarlane. Like, I know that's your shit. So I totally get that. And like,
I'm just fucking shocked I'm not burnt completely on the superhero thing.
Yeah.
And so that they can revive. But anyway, it was good. Already talked about that.
But just Mutant Mayhem, like everything from like the tone, the fucking 90s East Coast hip hop soundtrack mixed with the Trent Reznor score.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can. Dude, it fits. It's a perfect balance between adult and kid. None of the jokes land for me personally. It's definitely for a younger generation. But I had a good time with it. I love the mutant stuff. It really is Mutant Mayhem in like the final act. It's fucking crazy. It's literally Jorge. Like it's, I think in my opinion, the best Trent Reznor score he's ever done. It's better than Social Network.
I really fucking dug it.
Look,
it's an action score. It's an action score. It's busier, but it's
way more heavy on electronic shit. I get that. There's less piano, less strings and stuff like that. Like I get that, but it's. I think it was really cool, and like just that juxtaposition of Trent Reznor with Ninja Turtles, and it like Todd Howard, who created Fallout, it just works. Like, dude,
I haven't seen it yet, so I can't say yay or nay, but that's a lot. It's a lot. Fucking gold.
I know, and maybe, but like, dude, I it's.
Sheesh. I think also look. I mean, Gone Girl and fucking Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Also amazing, yeah.
Amazing fucking
amazing.
Scores. Like Gone Girl's score is fucking amazing to me.
Yeah.
So
it's yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. If you listen to them on their own, maybe because I do listen to Social Network like every month. Like it's my work music when I'm in the office and shit. Holy shit. Like
I watch that movie monthly.
But now, like, not the whole score, yeah. But like, I can nitpick like half the shit from Mutant Mayhem. Like, oh, it's so fucking good, man. Exactly. It's good, man. I liked it. I liked the acting. I like the teenage aspect of it, the reimagining.
I like the teenage aspect, I like the mutant aspect.
When you talk about... Well, here, go on. Here,
no, it was just a fun little trip. But I know objectively speaking, like, we're talking animation, yeah, across the Spider-Verse.
Besides objectively, too. For me, and I'm glad you love it.
You're like, this movie meant nothing to me. This movie's trap.
No, I'm just kidding. It's not trap.
You'd rather see Paw Patrol.
It was fun. What actually didn't... What? Fuck!
Blue Beetle.
Woo! Blue Blue Beetle. Nana? No, I don't want to see Blue Beetle. Have you seen that trailer? I've seen them all. You will die.
Hey, what are you doing, homie? You going to have that thing on you?
Yeah.
It chose me, dude.
The thing with, when you say that the humor is definitely for a younger audience, I know you've seen it twice. I disagree because stuff in there that actually, it felt like it's made by, I know I'm an aging millennial, aging zennial to be more specific. It felt like it's made by an aging millennial like Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
We've got Missy Elliott references. We've got John Legend references. We've got like, shut the fuck up. Like, yeah. I don't want to hear it. And it's not, and kids don't know who, and it's going to date the movie.
Yeah.
But when a kid grows up watching this fucking movie, who's John Legend? And they put it on and he sucks. They don't want anything to do with that.
But that's what I mean. Like, they're talking about, like, I like the references, but like, they weren't funny to me. Like, they're talking about Attack on Titan, BTS, all this stuff. Like, it's very modern. I hate when they date themselves like that. It's not going to work later.
And then what was the other thing? The throw up scene with April O'Neil.
Yeah.
You just hate turtles.
That it was so simple. Like that's a Coen Brothers deep cut right there. But yeah, that part wasn't, and I know it's like, oh, it's just one scene. It was an important scene though, and they like kept going with it. Okay, the teenagers, do you think they got the characterization right?
I think for those turtles, those four, yeah. I like how they riffed and how the director always had all four together in the recording studio.
And they got the chemistry from them, which is good. I think maybe that's one of the reasons why, and this might be legitimately a case where I'm coming in with my expectation of how the turtles are, and it was different, which is good.
You're old.
Well, the turtles are fucking old. But they're not. But Donatello, it's like, aren't you the tech dude? Like, he's not the tech dude anymore?
He's just nerdy. Yeah, he's just an anime nerd who has a lot of computer. Yeah, kind of like that.
He didn't even do that.
I think that's going to come later. Like they said, after this movie, they already said they already have like 2 seasons ready to go for a show and a sequel movie. And I feel like it would be so crazy to have that cast grow up. Because they're going to go through puberty. They're going to age perfectly in line with the progression of this new franchise. And I think it's going to be dope. Yeah.
I don't know, man. So, like, you know, you're talking about growing up, but these kids are already probably going ass to mouth, you know, given, these kids
want Oppenheimer. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
No, but it has made over 600 million worldwide, which is crazy. But anyway, so, no, the things I loved about the movie, though, this is one of the best depictions of Leonardo I've seen, because usually he's kind of bland.
He's the vanilla dude. Yeah.
And he's like,
Michelangelo really kind of took a back seat in this one, which I liked.
And Raphael took a back seat.
Yeah. Is Leonardo,
which I kind of didn't like.
And I'm a Donatello guy. I didn't mind him. You know?
Yeah. Leonardo was very likable.
You're a Donatello guy?
Yeah.
That's fucked up, man.
I've met Donatello guys before. Donatello's chill, dude. He's got his shit together.
He's too chill.
That's why I like Raphael, but obviously.
Michelangelo pilled. I'm sorry.
Who I thought was much better than the turtles in this movie, and that's not a bad thing per se, is the other mutants.
Fantastic.
And I thought Ice Cube as fucking
Superfly.
Superfly was dope.
How about that intro? I was like, is this like a David Fincher, like very serious tone? The SWAT team raid on a fucking meth house by Baxter Stockton. I was like, what is going on?
I loved the other mutants. And I think when they finally, the worlds collided is when the movie really hit like its stride for me. I know, I mean, depending on how much you love the turtles, you'll be all in anyway by that point, but it kicked up a notch there. And then, Gecko. What's his name?
Mondo Gecko. Wow.
Which is Paul Rudd. If we go see the movie again, I want to see it because I've been looking on YouTube. They don't have the scenes up there.
I've been looking too.
Yeah. The turtles, they got to go. Like,
can you drive this van?
Yeah.
No.
It's like, you just totally slammed on the brakes and I flew out the windshield. Not cool, bro. Like, which is cool. Like, he was really likable. The animation style, which is heavily, I don't want to say heavily influenced, but.
Well, they said they literally thanked the Spider-Verse people, like, through and through. They said if it wasn't for them, this movie would not exist.
Well, and that's a good thing. Yeah. It's not just about that movie anymore. Now, the modern animation style has been broken open, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can do fucking so many different things with it.
Yeah.
The computer. If you're good, you don't have to, it doesn't have to look all like Pixar people all the time.
Yeah. Right? Like, you look at Ninja Turtles, like, 2003 3D animated shit. Like, A lot of kids grew up with that, but I was like, that's fucking garbage.
This looks really bad.
Dude. Yeah, I saw some footage. This is fucking, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, the thing was, the humor for me, and it wasn't because some of the humor didn't land, some of the pop culture references didn't land, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
That's what I meant by the comedy. It was not for me, but those parts. But it's fun. I had a grin the whole time. I was like, wow, this is too much fun for me.
Yeah, and there was a dope car chase. That's another thing, too. The animated features are getting really, really good at action sequences.
Extended sequences. Yeah. That train sequence and Across the Spider-Verse, I'm kind of going on a tangent.
Yeah.
That's fucking, they said it took them like 3 years to make that. Like, right. that's the type of attention.
400 people.
Yeah.
Anime.
Overworked. Hell
yeah. Yeah! Chinese work conditions.
Press all, dude. Whatever gets us the juice.
No,
worth the squeeze.
No, in all seriousness, that's fucked up. However, I will say that at least the fruits of a bad situation are in the film.
Yeah,
it's a phenomenal sequence.
Yes,
and it sucks that those are the work conditions, but you can't make an omelet without breaking several hundred eggs.
Several hundred animators
for 3 years.
Yeah,
no, that's crazy.
But yeah, so I watched that, and then immediately the next day, in between both that and the rewatch, I did rewatch the two live action movies. I'm an Ooze guy. I like Secret of the Ooze.
Wait until Casey Jones shows up, though.
I know the first one is great too. I actually think it's
no, but I mean in the animated one.
Oh yeah, I know.
That's gonna be dope.
I know, right? I thought there may be some hint. I mean, we get a little stinger in the mid-credits.
And it's good they didn't fucking, they didn't blow their wad here. They introduced the universe. They showed us some stuff we hadn't seen before since the cartoon, really.
Yeah, you still have two big villains, you know, to reveal. And
yeah, we don't have Krang yet, the Technodrome, none of that shit. We haven't gone interdimensional yet, which is also a good move right now because there's a lot of that shit.
Yeah.
We got enough fucking interdimensional stuff. Yeah,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Multiverse.
Yeah.
We don't need that.
We don't need that.
And then real quick, too, Jackie Chan was a delight.
He was great.
He was so good.
Yeah. He was great. And I also, and again, this is like, it is one where I guess I have like old nerd gripes about it. Like, I do miss that he was already a master, though.
Like, you wanted the whole Kung Fu rat, like little baby rat?
I kind of love that shit.
The sensei, yeah.
I kind of love that thing, but I mean,
no. When I rewatched the first one, I was like, "Man, the fucking Jim Henson shit with the flashback, the origin story with
shit's fucking dope,
crazy good."
Now again, I commend them for doing something, but the fact that he learned from videos, I'm like, oh
yeah,
it hurts my feelings, but it's okay.
Hmm. Well, that's the thing. I think they could easily just like he hold back because his origin story starts when he's like
Splinter learns fucking his shit from videos, Jorge.
That's cool.
We don't know that 100% though, because his origin story starts when he's like 20 years old in the streets. They could easily show like
people he really was. The streets.
Oh, the maybe. Prequel.
Yeah, and then tie it in with Shredder.
Episode one.
Yeah, I'm gonna do episode one too.
Jesus Christ!
But that's all me though.
Damn, we fucking unloaded mayhem right now.
You mayhem Oppenschlanger.
Did you watch anything significant?
I do want to recommend the show, and it's in season two right now. But it's called This Fool.
Yeah.
On fucking Hulu and. This fool. Don't make that
shit,
face.
That shit is like fucking Latino brown face, man.
It is not.
It is.
George Lopez is
and I
like
can
that.
Tell you because I'm of the culture.
Damn.
You know who else is of the culture? Other Latinos than you that don't go to monster truck shows?
Fucking lame, dude.
You go to monster truck shows? And, and have a duck hunting hat. You're no longer qualified to talk about the show.
You want a show about me, dude?
Hey, homie.
Hey, little dude.
Homie.
Hey, you know what we're going to do in this fucking funny joke, dude? We're going to reverse in this car, dude. And we're going to fucking run into some vatos. And they're going to be fucking hella cool about it, dude. Oh, shit, dude. Oh, you so funny, homie.
Wasn't a show at all.
This fool, dude.
Watch like 5 minutes
this
of it.
This fool, dude.
This fool, dude.
Okay. So you don't interact with people like that. You don't. I know you don't.
I work with them on a daily basis.
You work with white fucks, you said.
Nope.
Okay, so the clients that I deal with and the people in South Bay, and yes, it's fucking actually very accurate. Especially the convict type stuff. Absolutely. And I don't think you watched enough of it.
Shit's lame, dude.
Didn't
Taika Waititi produce it?
They have a... Yeah, but... Yeah. They don't have, like... Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, well, you got Reservation Dogs.
Bad movie.
Exactly. I do watch Reservation Dogs, and it's fucking great.
I started Reservation Dogs and I didn't stick with it.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, it's so much better. I don't understand the culture.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think this fool is fucking hilarious.
You would. No, I don't.
You wouldn't.
Exactly.
But you didn't watch episode 5 where it's not all they do is Latino stuff. That's not like all they do. Like, by the way,
they do some Asian stuff, which is really revolutionary. No,
they talk about codependency, and then he's his case manager, and then they get fucking, he goes into therapy, and then they think therapy's bullshit because it's like Jorge, because it's machismo. And
not true. I go to therapy regularly.
You're a fucking liar.
It's not true.
Show me your therapist.
Yeah, Jonah Hill.
Yeah, what the fuck? No, but how much of that show did you watch?
2 episodes. Enough to nope the fuck out.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair,
we'll always have Oppenheimer.
To be fair, I've only seen 2 episodes also, and I haven't watched it since. But I loved it, but I haven't watched it.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I love it.
Are you in the second season yet?
No, I'm on episode 6.
Okay. This guy hasn't seen a single episode about cowboys, and yet this fool is his fucking jam.
Cowboys?
Yeah, that's you, dude.
What fucking cowboys?
Hold Any me. Cowboy.
Yeah, what you want to watch fucking, what's that show?
Yellowstone?
Yeah, you want to watch Yellowstone?
That's you, dude.
Hell yeah. I watched Lonesome Dove, the whole thing with my mom. Jeez. That's a good show.
He's all Dr. Quinn, medicine woman. That's my shit. Dude,
my feeling, I can't believe you. Oh, the other thing is How To with John Wilson, season 3 on HBO Max. Fucking great. Great documentary style observational comedy. Season 3 is great.
Okay.
It's a well-kept secret up to this point by people who love it, but it made it to season 3, and I hope more people hear about it. Give it a shot. If you don't understand it, that means you're an idiot.
True.
Just like Jorge doesn't understand this fool because he's racist against Latinos. And so, you know, he started going to the monster truck shows, and it warped him. It warped him. Now he can no longer see the homies. In the same way. Wait, oh, he's the motherfucker. No?
Damn.
I'm kidding.
Look, just because I have half white children.
You do, though.
I do.
I have none. Can I go to a monster truck show?
You would love it, dude.
I would.
You would fucking love it.
This chaos.
Let's go shooting. Let's go do all this stuff that I've appropriated from your culture.
Shooting, and monster we'll trucks, this fool. And then hockey. We
can watch. I just don't want you selling it to other people that it's like George Lopez, okay? Because it's not fucking like that.
No, it's worse. It's like fucking. Oh, my God, it's like, what's his name? It's like
Mencia?
Mencia.
No, it's not. No, it's fucking not. I don't like either one of those fucks. I think, here. George Lopez on the bottom, Carlos Mencia a couple notches above. Yes.
What?
Mencia's better than George
Lopez. No, no.
Yes, he is, because George Lopez is just the fucking dumbest, cheesiest shit ever.
They're both awful, but at least Lopez isn't a joke stealer, man.
The fucking
joke stealer. They're all joke stealers.
That South Park episode?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Sheesh. I didn't know about that.
I don't even know. I don't even give a fuck.
Why do you think you've never seen him ever on the spotlight? Yeah. He stole like every joke he's ever done. He's fucking done.
George Lopez fucking didn't steal jokes.
He's a Blue Beetle. They're bad jokes, but at least there were his.
He's in Blue Beetle. He made it.
It's fucking terrible.
He's got a goatee. Shut up.
I'm for the joke stealer. You're right. Steal those fucking jokes.
Steal them jokes as long as they're funny, right?
How many people stole jokes from Bill Hicks, okay? Okay, all
right.
Let's go.
We're going to be right back. We're going to talk about a movie.
Damn, how long was that? You just got to go.
Oh, for your... Yeah.
For what?
The Patreon thing?
For the... Wait, Jorge, guess what? Fucking guess.
What, dude?
We're back!
You're right. Shit. Fuck. I should have guessed that. Damn it.
Yes, we're back. You're back. And if you want to keep coming back, take yourself on over to www.patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast, where you can give $1, $5, $10, $20. We even have a gentleman, as aforementioned in previous episodes, giving $50
King
a month.
Hands.
He's a fucking madman. We love him. And, yeah, you get Early access to the episodes. You get exclusive content, such as the we Patreon. We talked about
Short Circuit today. Yeah,
we did a Patreon episode. It was going to be Short Circuit 2, but we did basically a combined Short Circuit 1, Short Circuit 2.
A compendium, if you will.
Yeah. It's basically, it's the authority on the Short Circuit lore.
Yep.
Brown face bonanza.
Well, yeah, yeah. It, Fisher Stevens
we
is
talk
in there.
About brown face. We talk about Mexican face. Who's well, Mexican no, that was face? Actually, you know, during the actual show. Never mind.
But yes, yes. So thank you to all our Patreon members who have continued their ongoing support. And once again, www.patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. And when are we going to, we're going to do a Patreon episode soon? Where they select the episode.
Yeah.
You guys want to do that in the next couple weeks?
That'd be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll get that all sorted out. And we need to get some stickers together. Yeah.
All right. Let's do that.
Let's do that. Let's, well, get, let's get us some stickers.
Well, the Who Goes There podcast watched a little film. You might have heard about it by a kind of indie director in an indie film. RoboCop fucking 2. Mm. Sheesh.
1990s RoboCop 2.
Oh my God in heaven. So I talked about RoboCop 2 a couple weeks ago.
You did.
It's fucking great, man. It's better than 1.
Shut up.
It's better than 1. 100%. It's better than RoboCop 1. I'm dying. I am dying on this cross.
Damn,
1,000%.
Okay.
Jacob?
There's like three discussions that could be had about this movie. One,
let's have them all.
It would be just Phil Tippett alone. And you've discussed in the past about this Phil Tippett and the making of this film with Kane. The other discussion is talking about this movie on its own merits. And I think it's fucking insane and has no chill. Like, we got baby hostages. We've got elderly abuse. We got drug addict robots, cyborgs. We've got kid drug lords. It's fucking insane. And then you have another discussion where, yeah, comparatively to the first movie, it's very soulless and spineless and lax. Like the fucking...
Correct.
Like it had... The Basil Polydorus score of
doesn't
you know
even
the,
have
fir-
the theme.
It doesn't have the first movie score. It doesn't have the Jost Vakuanu German cinematographer who's nope. like iconic for all his beautiful like fluorescent lighting shots. Like mm-hmm. it's missing a lot of these iconic. But like yes, on its own, like as someone who watches RoboCop every year, one or two times a year for probably the last like 15 plus years. It's my top 10 of all time. Not, I'm like not a fan of the franchise, but the first movie alone, yes, I'm a huge fan. Like the second one was a nice treat. I haven't seen it in forever. And holy fuck, like this might be in my yearly rotation also. Like every time I watch one, I might have to watch two now because it's fucking just bonkers. Dialed up to 11. In every way, just maybe not the violence, you know what I mean? Like, there's some cool, great stuff, but like one-liners, the satire, the fucking colors pop. It's the Frank Miller comic bookness of it.
Like all the stuff, yeah,
yeah. It's you go ahead.
All the stuff,
yeah.
you all the stuff you're saying, true, all except the, trash.
No, all yeah. the stuff you mentioned.
Kind of, yeah.
All the stuff you mentioned on the front end, like you said, fucking, you had a great list going there. There's baby hostages. What else did you say?
Dope.
There's drug addict robots.
Dope.
And this is Frank Miller. This yeah. is Frank Miller shit, and it's late 80s, early 90s Frank Miller. Like, and he had a series in called Ronin in the 80s, which has just these wild ideas in it and stuff too. But you can see a lot of that pulpy comic book type stuff.
Yeah.
But they were following up Paul Verhoeven's first one, and they got to, and you get to go pulpy and comic booky, but very violent if you want, and have very dark ideas, and he does. That being said, when you mention it being, I hadn't seen it in a few years, honestly. When you mention it being soulless, like, you know, Urban Kirshner is not Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah.
And also the writer, Joe Numier, or whatever, he also did Starship Troopers later on. you know, Frank Miller is Frank Miller, especially in his prime, and he wrote the fucking Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
But a screenplay is a screenplay.
Yeah.
And it's different. Like, he's exactly. got some great...
Yeah. It's missing a third act. You know what I mean? Like, it's just... Sure. It's just, like, 2 hours of just fucking carnage and then ends, which, you know, it's kind of fun, but, yeah, it doesn't feel like a complete movie.
Yeah. So... Comparing it to the first for me, like when Jorge says it's better than 100% than part one, not fucking even close. However, I do think at the time it was considered a subpar sequel. I liked it when I was a kid because it's so fucking crazy, and I will say it's definitely more horror-centric than the first one.
Which doesn't to me, it doesn't like, I'm like, oh, that's why it's better.
Oh, I know it's not. Yeah. But, yeah, because you're like, fuck that.
Yeah.
No, but it happens to be that, though. The stuff with Kane is scary. Like, it was scary to me as a kid. And there's specific scenes, you know, we can get into the specifics of it. When you say it doesn't have the cinematography, but it has this 1990, like, even RoboCop, he's got like a purple hue.
Yes, this one, he's the iridescent. Violent. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's very 1990.
And Rob Bottin, the guy who did the special effects for like The Thing and shit, like he designed the suit for this one, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, you can see those things in the nuke thing, and all that has analogs to, I mean, what's going on with fentanyl right now, like fucking, dude, it's the closest thing to it that I've seen in a movie, and the movie's fucking 30 years ago now. What else? What else can I say about it without specifics? It's lacking a third act, I think is exactly right.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, the third act happens in the last 10 minutes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's kind of the bit. Like, when you get Kane at the convention center, and then it's like, done.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that sucks.
But... what a fucking 10 minutes, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's like a criticism, but also it's like, damn, like if the first movie never existed and they somehow managed to squeeze in like a little origin story, like this movie
would
would have huge, huge cult status. Like this fucking movie, it's got some legs on it. Like, it's like, it I don't know what I mean when I say it, but like, it feels more 80.
You know who didn't have legs? RoboCop for a good portion of this movie.
Oh! Speaking of which, it's a great scene where they're ripping them apart and all that stuff. And then it has like all this animatronics of RoboCop. Which works because he's a fucking android. Well, that's he's
a
cyborg.
That's you when you're going to bed.
That's me in the morning.
You're like...
Yeah.
What's up with him? Do they explain why he like has worse English, like language motor skills in the beginning again? Like he was pretty full functioning at the end of the first RoboCop, and he kind of came back to like I'm like a dummy cyborg for like the first half of RoboCop.
I'm glad you bring that up because I remember that being an issue when I saw it way back.
Really?
Because at the end of RoboCop 1, it kind of betrays the character arc from the first one, right?
Yeah,
right. It makes the case to me that it should probably have been a one-off. Let's leave it alone, but whatever. But yeah, he should be more fucking human. But I guess like what it implies to me, I think it's pure cynicism, and it's Frank Miller though. But they probably just went and tinkered with him again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, said,
fuck
or this. He's limited by the programming again.
Yeah, which they kind of explore. They explore in here actually, right? Mm-hmm. Like when and that's very Frank Miller-y, and it's actually one of the best like. I know this isn't, I don't want to say this, you know, there's highbrow stuff in the first one, and it's in here too by extension, but most of it, like you said, is just fucking bonkers. But there is like a really interesting thing where they try to give him a bunch of new protocol and a bunch of new stuff. They overload him with like hundreds of shit,
mm-hmm.
right, that he has to follow.
Yeah.
Which is a good little fucking thing about people, and it's not just RoboCop, but people being programmed with a bunch of norms.
Yeah.
And they can't even function. They can't even like fucking perform basic tasks and be in an effective way because they've got to follow fucking 200 norms and shit, you know, while he's trying to interact with his environment. So that was cool that they had that introduced. I thought that was cool.
Did you hear about the making of this? It went through development hell.
I did not know.
Oh, I gotta imagine it.
Like
did.
Mid late 80s, the writer's strike happened. The famous like 1988 writer's strike. It lasted like 5 months. And they had to fire the writers. I think it was the original guys from the first movie. Fired them. They hired Frank Miller years later. and to get it going. And then his shit was actually rewritten by, I think, the director or writer of The Wild Bunch, Sam Peckinpah.
Holy shit.
And he changed it up. And what's interesting is the original story that Frank Miller wrote for RoboCop 2, he made that into the 2000 comic book. That was actually the original script for RoboCop 2. It's a lot different. I think he even has like a showdown with the cops, and he kills cops, or maybe he kills OCP, but it's like way more insane and a little bit more heady with the corporate shit.
Right. You could tell with Miller, of course, you know, being familiar with his output from that time period in graphic novels, I'm sure he wanted to go
and,
more
and
into
And the original that. Writers, they are the ones who, when they got fired because of the writer's strike and all that, they recommended two comic book writers to fucking... hired, like, you should go to these two guys to write the script for RoboCop 2. It was Alan Moore and Frank Miller. Damn. And Alan Moore said nah, but
Frank... Of course Alan Moore said nah. He said, fuck you.
He said, fuck RoboCop 2.
Fuck movies. Yeah, he said, fuck movies.
Movies in general.
No, if I wanted to write a movie, I would write a movie. That's what he fucking...
Yeah. 100%, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, Frank Miller, man, he nailed the nitty gritty of the first movie, but in a different way. And you said it came out 1990, right?
1990,
yeah. But it feels yeah.
Same year as Ghost.
Super saturated, like it feels neon drenched 80s more than the first movie. Surprisingly,
no, yeah, it's the 80s hangover into the first year of we're on ground zero for 1990, and also it was shot in 89 by probably right or 88.
Yeah, I really wanted like the Sylvester Stallone Judge Dredd to feel like this RoboCop 2. Yeah. I think this would be like the perfect aesthetic for Judge Dredd.
Yeah,
back then. Yeah,
there's things too when you talk about, to use the word soulless again. It has to do certain things because the first film did, right?
Yeah,
like it has to do the commercials. These commercials do not compare.
They're not it, fam.
The first one I'm okay with, where the guy gets fucking killed trying to steal a car.
Mm-hmm. But like the sunscreen one.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, this is just like, and also when it goes into pacing and editing, it's like, okay.
A little try hard. You have the most epic Ed 209 moment in the first film when it malfunctions. And they're like, let's throw in two of them real quick in succession in this one to try to like top it or pay homage to it.
Right.
This movie highlights the whole less is more argument of it the first does. One.
As far, exactly. Like they want to do more. It's the sequel mentality, right? It has the sequelitis thing to me. It does.
Yeah.
And I like the movie. But it has, let's do more of what we had in the first one, and more is less.
Because, and see what sticks.
Yeah, and that fucking, you know, like the sunscreen thing doesn't stick. Take it out. Shit, that's trash. Take it off. And also, how come we stopped hearing about the ozone layer?
Because it healed itself.
That's fucking bullshit.
Because we don't worry about that thing anymore, dude.
It's fucking weird,
it's dude. Fine. It's there.
We have climate change. We're fucked. Like we always were, same as it ever was. But no ozone layer talk.
Mm-hmm. Weird. Well, the hole has healed itself.
How? So the Republicans were right. Don't worry about the ozone layer. That's what you're saying.
Wake up, people.
Wake up, sheeple.
Mm-hmm.
This is Matt Smith. No, I'm sorry. No, wait a minute. Wait, it's underreported, bro. You know, no, but seriously, no. We could take that out if you want. I don't know.
I don't give a fuck.
It's a joke. Come on. No, but fucking, I don't understand why we stopped hearing about the ozone layer. When did it go away, and what happened? You know, I miss the ozone layer problems. Yeah, fucking.
What happened to the hole in the ozone layer? Let's find out. Oh, I'm not typing anything. What happened to the hole in the ozone layer?
Okay, and while he's looking that up, there are fucking bonkers ideas too. Like we have a footage of a nuke addict gunning down the Surgeon General, right? Like that shit.
Those are the moments where I'm like,
it's fucking wild, dude. Like that shit is over the top.
Like crazy. if the movie's 2 hours, which was kind of a mistake. If it was 90 minutes and it had just
nice and tight,
a lot of those moments, even more, like double it, holy shit. Like, I would almost be like, this is on par with the first one.
Yeah.
But...
Because then it wouldn't be trying to do exactly the same thing.
It would just be fucking pure, like, stimming, just insanity, you know?
So according to PBS ozonelayer.org. We don't hear much about the hole in the ozone layer anymore. That's because we've all but fixed it, thanks to consumer choices and a massive international agreement called the Montreal Protocol.
Mother Earth's fixed itself, dude.
Go ahead, sheeple. Believe
what you, believe what you hear.
This
believe,
is just the what, tip of I, that, the iceberg, dude. Yeah.
But seriously, though, I'm unsatisfied with this Google result. I don't have any better understanding.
It's from PBS.org, man.
What? Yeah, but where'd they get their PBS isn't like next to the ozone. They got their information from somewhere.
Yeah, they have a space station right next to the ozone.
They're fucking. I know PBS, bro. They're me.
Well, the other thing was acid rain. Remember acid rain when we were kids? Like that was also scary. And
I'm not saying it's not real. I'm wondering where did it go in the narrative? Like it's time to switch it out. Like what's the deal?
Switch it out.
Switch it out. You switch it out. You switch it out.
These hang around my neck.
Fuck.
Dude, that was a fucking horrible mashup.
Saint Anger is better than RoboCop 2. Just kidding.
Whoa.
No, I'm just
damn.
You know what though? His snare it sounds like
it's trash. Too. Yeah, it's
ching,
like
ching 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 ching.
Okay.
Should we, so you know who else is soulless?
Oh, firebombing of a drug treatment clinic, like that shit. Like they're that's so fucking mean spirited. It's super like. If anything, too, like Frank Miller saw the opportunity because he sees how like dark and satirical and cynical the first one is. And instead of just being as smart, though, it just goes hard on the cynicism. Like, everyone's corrupt. Like, that was the same thing in the first one. But everyone is fucking corrupt. You got, like, the scientist lady who is... She's got the moral relativity thing going on, but she wants to use fucking criminals, which is also a good idea conceptually, or an interesting idea. You need to have someone that's going to be able to... Because they started having all those failures with their follow-ups, right? You need a subject who's going to embrace the idea of immortality with the technology.
Yeah.
Which is at least conceptually, it's a good pitch.
Conceptually, yeah. Because I was like, this is so dumb. But at the same time, I'm like, this is fucking great. What a cool way to tie back in a villain that gets vanquished and then have him be the big bad at the end. And I think this is a good segue talking about fucking Kane and Phil Tippett because...
Right.
Holy shit, man.
The best.
One of the most elaborate, detailed, like, fucking puppeteering, stop motion shit, like, ever in cinema.
Definitely. And, like, and honestly, it's aged really well. I actually kind of remember, like, when I was young, it's not like I would have used the word to describe it, but it felt kind of awkward after Ed 209 because I don't think I had wrapped my head around...
Yeah.
The thing now it makes a lot more sense because we're living in an age with fucking screens all the time and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the idea that he has no visage, he has no face. If he wants to interact with you like that, he'll give you a computer generated face on a screen and then it will retract and he'll just fucking kill you. You know, all of that stuff works really fucking well.
It's a good change from Ed 209. Phil Tippett said Ed 209 is kind of like a big, dumb Cadillac.
Yeah.
And then this is like a Swiss Army bodybuilder.
Right.
And...
Because he could flip over and his feet would go the other way and stuff. That kind
of
thing.
It's great. The sound design of it.
Fuck around with Kane, brother.
He's cool. And like I remember
Johnny Five will fuck up Kane.
You think, yeah, totally. He would end everybody. you talked about RoboCop 2 episodes ago, a long, long time ago, and you mentioned something, and then I saw it brought up when I was reading about the movie and watching YouTube videos with Phil Tippett and how an issue that they had, I forgot what, something Hayes created and designed Ed 209 for the first movie. There was all these duplicates and ripoffs and toy markets in Japan or wherever where they were making counterfeit Ed 209 toys because it was so easy to duplicate. And then Phil Tippett wanted to make something more like complicated, something that you could just it'd be impossible to duplicate because it's such a complex robot. And I think he nailed that.
He did nail that, and that makes sense as a motivator.
Yeah,
he wanted to make something that was like so. It was so intricate. But yeah, you couldn't like do a knockoff of Kane.
No.
You can't. Especially with the screen thing and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and so he doesn't even have a face, right? The scene in particular Well, there's a few things. They remove his fucking CNS, his central nervous system. Right, so it's just his eyeballs, his brain, a brainstem, and a fucking spine.
Which is funny because he doesn't need his eyeballs at that point.
Yeah, but it's great though for film because it's a large, it's a visual medium, and you have the idea because it does a camera thing where it gives the idea that he's still seeing in there.
Yeah,
he's still seeing.
He's so just screaming into the void at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's really fucking horrific. Like, yeah. There's a horrific like. It's gory anyway, but it's gory and psychologically horrific.
Yeah.
You know, which is, and that's what I mean. That kind of one-ups the first one with that. You get that feeling in RoboCop, but that kind of one-ups it there.
Yeah.
That fucking psychological horror.
And he's a fucking withdrawing.
And he's withdrawing, yeah. Which is fucking, and they feed him nuke instead of fucking baby food. Yeah. You know, and then when he goes and has the big moment with his chick and the kid, and then like he puts his fucking like pincer out and you know,
say, I can work with this.
And yeah. She's like, it'll take some getting used to. And then like the face retracts and
he's like, wait a second, no.
He makes that fucking crazy lawnmower man face. He's like, very much, yeah. And then fucking it go, and then Phil Tippett's like, oh, we're gonna go hard right here. You know, it's yeah. Like that's fucked up.
He's like, oh no, I can't fuck anymore. I just want the juice.
Yeah. And also, you didn't fucking come break me out at all, right? You listened to that little bitch. Like,
He was. I hated that kid.
The kid, you know what? I remember when I was a kid and that kid said, fuck Kane. I was just like, what do you mean?
Why would he dare?
What kind of bad guy are you? Like, you're not loyal to anyone. And again, it's just like the ultimate, like, ugly cynicism of this movie. Like, this kid is just nihilistic as fuck. He does not care.
That's your daddy, dude.
Who, Kane?
Kane, dude. That was his dad, dude. Oh, not his real dad,
that's
but...
That's my daddy, dude.
Yeah, Kane was your dad,
yeah,
dude.
Kane was my dad, dude. No, but, the kid drug addict, and also, does he get it on with the chick?
It's implied, right? I guess it's more than implied. But the implication is that they fuck, which is...
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
So that's problematic.
Yeah, they got that. They got that. Let me see. Oh, I put Kane's girlfriend is hot as fuck. Okay.
True.
Oh, and then the whole thing about RoboCop, you know, them having him fucking say out loud that he's a machine, nothing more, and all that kind of stuff. So they try to continue the dehumanization fucking trope.
They ham-fisted the whole why from flashbacks of the kids, like real quick in that first act. Oh, yeah. They kind of just got it out of the way.
He's stalking his ex-wife.
Well, that whole scene was so fucking weird too, because like it starts off with like, don't go fucking see her because she doesn't want to interact with you, and then she shows up in the next scene's like, don't you remember me? I'm your wife. And it's like, what the fuck? What?
It made no sense.
Like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
He's like,
here?
I'm just wearing his face and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, well, because it didn't go with the. Yeah. It seems like we're missing scenes, or they'd like cobbled together stuff, different versions a little bit. Oh, the kid actor. His name is Gabriel Damon. All right.
Yeah.
He did a bunch of TV and shit. Right, but the thing what I want to mention is he's the voice of Littlefoot in Land Before Time.
Mm. He was also the voice of Nemo in Little Nemo, Adventures of Slumberland.
I thought he was fucking Nick Stahl.
might as well be, right?
At this point, that's fucking Littlefoot is
iconic.
Also, the fuck job in RoboCop 2. Now you know those two things do not go together.
No,
and then I like the OCP banners and stuff and their uniforms. I hadn't noticed that before.
Oh, they went hard. It was very apparent what they were going for.
It's full on Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
oh, it's just Nazis now.
Uniforms, basically.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, got it. Cool.
Yeah. I hadn't noticed that before.
A lot of returning supporting cast. You got the baby food guy.
The baby food guy. You've got fucking the old man.
Yeah.
Who else you got?
Nancy Allen.
Got Nancy,
but they kind of just threw in just for one scene.
Doesn't need to be there at all.
Yeah, just for like a ride along scene, you know. And but that was a great scene. The fucking when he's malfunctioning, with where his they soften his protocols, and he's fucking like reading the Miranda rights to a fucking corpse and in the little leagues beating the shit out of an old store owner. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys do
See, that's also like off the wall Frank Miller stuff.
Yeah, like even
feels very comic book.
The intro where it just shows the crime wave of just like a chain reaction of crime, yeah. And then you got people robbing an old lady, almost running her down. The guy's like, "Oh, do you need help?" And then just mugs her, and then he gets mugged by a couple of pros, and it's like, "Damn, yeah. It's fucking, it was crazy."
Yeah, and then what else we got? See here. Oh, the RoboCop 2 tests. I wanted to go back to that real quick. I think that's when it introduces the idea that the human consciousness thing is not jiving well with the machine.
No. Yeah. Right?
Like, it has one of them where it just takes off its
takes head off its hell. It's yeah. It's the helmet, and it's like, yeah. Yeah. It just screams and dies. Or the other one that kills itself.
Yeah, and shoots itself. I mean, that shit's great. That's a very well-developed thesis right there for that part, you know? And it comes full circle when we get to Kane.
Yeah.
It introduces why they'd even do that. So I think that's probably the most, like, that keeps the movie conceptually afloat amidst all the other stuff. Because the rest of the stuff is just, you know, it's a pretty sadistic movie, really.
Yeah.
All things considered, which I'm not downing it, but it doesn't have much else going on structurally.
Like, we get it. Detroit is, you know.
Detroit sucks again.
Detroit fucking blows.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like the mayor, he's there.
He's a character. Yeah.
He's a character. And then like, he's like, "That thing's a killer. I've seen it." Like, yeah, you've seen it because you were at a fucking drug deal. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this... None of this shit lines up. Like, this is not how this is gonna go.
Yeah, what are you upset about?
Yeah, like,
shut your mouth and you'll live.
Get the fuck out of there.
Real quick, what why was the city in debt to OCP? Like, why do they
God damn it. They
Well, so the whole idea is that OCP is building like a perfect community inside of Detroit, right? Okay. And so from what I gather is that Detroit is paying OCP for development, but ultimately OCP is going to own the city because, you know, they owe them so much money.
Yeah. Okay.
So to me, yeah, it's an extension of the first one. The first one, they start talking about how law enforcement becomes a privatized corporation, which is, I mean, you know, it seems outlandish, but that's one of the reasons it's satirical. But also, like, all of the fucking detention facilities in this country are privately owned.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, literally.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so it's the idea that there are certain, you know, there are certain freaking things within a societal structure that shouldn't be fucking monetized, right? Such as fucking the health industry and things like that. When you do that, you get this corporate mentality moving into these fucking aspects that really shouldn't be corporatized like that. And this is what you get, because at the beating heart of that corporate structure is this fucking machine that's going to take off its helmet and just be a skull and scream and fucking die. And
die.
So it's Oppenheimer.
There you go.
What?
That's Oppenheimer, right?
I feel like the film was like...
It's not going to work out.
It's so in your face and cynical that I don't think it left room for those themes to even breathe, because it's so fucking...
It doesn't really breathe. That's exactly. I think it is there, and then it, like, yeah, it gets in kind of a rush to get to a climax, and it doesn't really know where he wanted to go, it sounds like, because he put it in the comic book.
Yeah.
And the studio's like, nah, we just need to have fucking a special effects extravaganza. But goddamn, did I love that fucking climax, as a kid especially. Which is when he smashes his fucking brain on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah. And just that whole fight sequence, switching seamlessly, actually, like, it was great switching between puppeteering stop motion to a 1-to-1 Kane model, you know, like full on. Cause I watched the,
it's a lot of stop motion in this one though.
There is. Yeah. What's that guy from Mythbusters? Something Savage.
Adam Savage.
Mustache fucker.
Yeah.
No, that's the other one.
Oh.
Didn't one of them show his asshole?
What?
There's a thing, yeah. Like, they leaked a picture of him, like, fucking showing his fucking
Mythbusters. Mythbusters. He's all spreading his ass with his gape gloves. Mythbusters.
Yeah, there's a fucking asshole gape.
Pick. Let's see. Mythbusters. Legend of
Adam Savage 8. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I swear there's, like, an asshole gape.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I don't even know where it's going. Oh yeah, yeah. He, not him, but like his company, the whole Mythbusters team. They met up with Phil Tippett, and it was great seeing like the, because it is very dark cinematography and lighting, but they showed in the warehouse the fucking 1:1.
Oh, thank God it's fake.
It was fake. Damn.
Snopes says it's fake.
Okay.
Good old Snopes. And who is Snopes, Jorge?
Well, Snopes is just another conglomerate media OCP. you know,
he's OCP. There's nothing like this that in the first one. I work for Dick Jones. There's nothing close to that kind of.
It doesn't have the mutant getting hit by a car, you know.
No, even there's, the violence, exactly.
Yeah, the blood squibs were like 30. It was insane.
There was one in this one where there was a gunshot that RoboCop did, and it went through a guy's fucking eye.
Was it the baby hostage or no?
It wasn't the baby hostage. You know, it was midway through the movie, like in a factory setting.
Yeah, there was some cool shit.
That one was fucking really strong.
He was doing the fucking gung fu shit, not looking and just shooting everybody.
Equilibrium.
He's doing, yeah, exactly. The gun kata. He was.
That's a fucking movie, man. Holy shit.
Shit. Yeah, he was doing that. And then we didn't get the targeting system thing, did we?
No, we did. Yeah, we got a little bit of it. Okay, in the baby hostage.
Don't fucking look at me like that. What? I made a mistake.
I
made a mistake. But this fool isn't a mistake. You disagree?
Fully.
Hey, man, you've been quiet, dude. What else is going on in RoboCop 2? Tell us what you love.
Did you rewatch it again? Because you watched it like three weeks ago.
So I watched it a couple weeks ago, and then I watched it again yesterday.
Fucking liar.
Yeah, man, I just enjoyed this one far more than RoboCop 1. I think RoboCop 1 is fucking brilliant, but there is...
The bonkersness of this.
This one doesn't ever let up. It's never like, oh, let's take a thoughtful moment to think about,
go to his house and he
let's go to
reflect.
His house and see, go through and see what happens. This one's like, it's nuke people's necks. It's guys taking off their fucking helmets. It's Kane, and it's just the fuck you-ness of it is what I'm into.
It is a misanthropic movie. Mm-hmm. Oh. Irvin Kershner directs this. He did Empire Strikes Back.
Shit.
There you go. So it's perfect.
Fucking weird. And then if you look at the rest of his filmography, those are like, Empire is like the big standout. Mm-hmm. But
I disagree.
It's no longer cool to like Star Wars at all. So therefore RoboCop 2.
No, episode 1, that was great.
What did you say? 3.5 stars out of 5? Dude.
I got you.
You did get me. But I will say Short Circuit 2 is 3.5 stars out of 5.
So much to unpack.
I'm just kidding. Objectively, I'd still give it 2 out of 5. Hmm. But for me?
4.
For robot autism, 5.
Wow.
I mean, you can't beat it. It can't be beat for robotic autism.
I mean, when I watched it, I was like, I get why Rhett likes this movie.
Thanks.
Take that as you know.
Yeah, take it as you may.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be powered down.
Mm-mm. Ever.
You can't power.
I want to be gold.
You can't power.
I want to be gold plated and become a citizen, a real boy.
And shiny, jump. Shiny and chrome.
Shiny and chrome. Yes. RoboCop 2, what else do we have for RoboCop 2?
We got Phil Tippett.
Have we covered the goods?
We got Kane. We got Fuck That Kid.
I barely remember. Like, I've barely seen RoboCop 2, so that was like a nice treat. I've actually, like, I don't know if I've ever seen all the way through RoboCop 3. Like, real dude. Quick. Like,
oh, yeah, good call. Don't.
Just don't. I know he has a jetpack. And
RoboCop 3 has a samurai robot in it.
This is like the toy. It's fucking crazy. Is like the height of the toy of RoboCop, right? So it's really just kind of like.
Well, and this one was not.
Trying to market shit.
Part 2 was not as successful as the first. And then a few years went by. Frank Miller did this the script for part 3 also.
Really?
Yeah. And that's why you see certain ideas, in my opinion, like a samurai fucking robot and stuff like that. But it's PG-13. So this is, again, now, I'm not saying if a movie's not R, it's not good. This is RoboCop. So it's a bad sign. when RoboCop's PG-13.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Its birthplace is fucking.
Well, it's just like, again, Jorge's favorite movie, Alien versus Predator.
True.
Paul W.S. Anderson. Yep,
you're right. It is my favorite movie.
Jesus Christ. Like, no PG-13 yeah. aliens, no PG-13 Predator. Like, don't do this to me, right? But RoboCop, almost arguably even more, like, no. And the movie fucking sucks, though.
Yeah.
He Damn. Flies.
Yeah.
He...
It starts off with this scene where people are in their house and it gets bowled over by a goddamn wrecking ball. And it's like, what the fuck? What is happening here?
Well, because they're trying to do a sociopolitical thing about like that people are being relocated from their houses and a gentrification type deal, basically, yeah. which is the whole, the thing's been saying that yeah. about the new Detroit and stuff. It's uh-huh. been leading up to that. But yeah, the movie, you know what? You should watch it. Now I get it.
It's trash. It's you know what? Now. It's Oppenheimer.
I think it came out like the same year too. Is it 93? I kind of want to look it up.
And they made a TV series, which I've never touched in my life.
Well, I messaged you guys about this, and yeah. I was mystified by this fucking thing, and yeah. I didn't know anything about it.
Ooh, yeah. And first when you sent that, I'm like, is he kidding?
But I had zero idea about this yeah. show.
I never watched the show.
It's weird because I'm like, I am like a diehard RoboCop. One fan, like, but I blocked out everything. Same with Starship Troopers. Like, fucking, I love that movie, but I've blocked out everything outside of just Paul Verhoeven.
Like, dude, I would say, like...
Oh, dude, RoboCop 3 doesn't even have Peter Weller in it. No, holy that, shit.
I knew, yeah. It's no, I don't think...
It is sitting at one.
Probably like one returning character in
the movie. It's sitting at a 4.1 IMDb and a 9% Rotten Tomatoes. Which is pretty fucking impressive.
Holy shit. And
a 15% audience score. That might be due for a rewatch. But, but that those are impressive numbers.
But they have a samurai robot. Wow. 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 And Steven Root. God damn it.
Who the fuck's Steven Root, bro?
He's the guy from Office Space, dude. Mm. Stole my stapler, dude.
Oh, that guy. What do you think of You're Coming With Me, Kane?
I'm in.
It's dope.
It's fucking dope as shit.
I love it.
What, dude? What, dude?
So RoboCop 2 is available to stream on nowhere?
RoboCop 2 is Amazon.
Oh.
Amazon Prime.
It is. It is. Yeah. So it's available to stream on Amazon Prime. And if you haven't seen it since you were a kid, give it a good old dust it off and give it a rewatch.
That's me, dude.
Definitely.
And if you're a horror person who doesn't like RoboCop, watch RoboCop, man. Yeah. RoboCop 2.
Don't be an idiot.
Because it's pretty good. They got what you're looking for with a lot of things, you know?
It's true.
We've done...
Who the fuck was that you were showing me?
That's the samurai robot, dude. Look at him. His face cracks up, man. Gang.
Next week, we got to figure out what the fuck we're doing next week, eh? Eh?
Yeah, we don't.
We're skipping the vampire film.
Well,
huh?
If you want to.
We can't. We might do this Voyage of the Demeter movie, but by the time you hear it, it'll be like fucking October anyway. So,
God damn.
No exaggeration. So if it was irrelevant the week it came out, it'll definitely be irrelevant then, unless yeah. it turns out to be the new horror sensation.
What if it's so good?
Then we'll do it. Oh, we'll do it live.
Because I'm the one who's like holding out a little bit. Like, I know you two will probably...
I'll watch you regardless, yeah, man.
I already got my tickets because, there's nothing else really.
Then maybe, well, at the very least, we'll talk about it on the front end or something.
But we do have Old Boy.
We're gonna do coming Old Boy out. When oh, it comes out. Boy. They're doing a re-release this month.
I mean, in theaters, wow. Like, that's... I'm Odesu! Fucking, yeah.
God damn it anyway.
Yeah.
When's the last time you watched Old Boy? I haven't seen it since.
I think
the
not since the remake.
Well, that movie fucking sucked.
And so we watched. I think we watched them back to back for some stupid reason. But yeah, it's been a bit.
I'll probably do a Vengeance trilogy rewatch. Yeah,
I've never seen the other two.
All right,
which is not good of me.
Well, that's Short Circuit 2, RoboCop 2, mm-hmm. Oppenheimer talk. We nailed it all.
Yeah. Hell motherfucking yeah.
This is Jorge signing up.
This is Jacob.
And this is we gotta do something supernatural. That's what it sounds like. We've done way too much.
Too many robots.
Too many robots, military industrial complex, fuck jobs, OCP.
Next movie, Virus.
Next movie, Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones. just kidding.
Trash. We did that.
Oh, you did that
shit? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Do it again. Bye, Sophia.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.